We're going to talk about being called to freedom. And we, of course, begin in the book of Galatians, the fifth chapter, passage that we've noted so many times this year. Beginning at verse 6, the apostle says that in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything or uncircumcision. And you know, the Jews didn't like to hear that circumcision didn't matter. They wanted everything to be built around circumcision. He says it doesn't matter. What matters is faith. It works through love. If you drop down to verse 13, he says, you brethren were called for freedom. Only use not your freedom for an occasion to the flesh, but through love be servants one to another. And the whole law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So this morning we're going to talk about learning to live like free people, and especially the way that we treat other people. I have to say that it's really depressing that we treat each other so badly. When you look at the world around us and you start thinking about that world, in some ways it seems like we're always concerned about security because people don't treat each other well. When we send out an invitation for people to join our Zoom meeting, it would be nice if we could just broadcast that and say, anybody that wants to, we'd love to have you join our Zoom meeting. But we have to contend with the fact that there are people who in this world would come into a Zoom meeting and try to post pornography or something like that. And we have to deal with that. We get overwhelmed by that sometimes. Tough being a parent right now. We worry about our kids and we worry about people who exploit children for no good purpose. We have this impression that it's some old guy. He's the lecherous old guy who's trying to lure young children into his web so that he can abuse them. But let me tell you something that's really scary. Just under half of those people who are being investigated for exploiting others are children themselves, under the age of 16. They try to get people involved in sex rings. They try to get them involved in gangs. They try to get them to commit crimes, and it just seems like that's the way the world is. And I don't know if you're like me, but sometimes I wish that I could just run away and hide on a desert island, take my kids and my grandkids and live out there, and we wouldn't have to put up with all of this stuff. But unfortunately, we do. There's nothing that we can do about it. And the real reason is because people want to make other people into merchandise. They want to make people something that they can use. How many of you use Facebook? Me. Okay. I don't do it very often. You remember when Mark Zuckerberg had to testify before Congress, and he was talking about how he could make Facebook free so that people could use it and didn't have to pay anything to use it? It's because he could sell their information to other people. Facebook's not free. He's just figured out how to make you the product and how to make profit off of you. And I'm I'm not picking on Facebook. It's Outlook. I don't know if you're like me, but every time you go to a website and look at something, about 6 hours later, you start getting ads so that you'll buy the thing that you were looking at. Don't ever do research on children being exploited for sex. I'm getting all kinds of ads right now that I wish that I wasn't getting. But people abuse other people so that they can just make a profit off of them. If you look at Romans, the first chapter, the apostle talks about what happens when people treat other people as an object. They don't know about the way that God treats other people. Romans 1, we're going to begin reading at, we're going to begin at about verse 22. And I'm going to read this from a more up-to-date translation, because a lot of the words in the King James, they're real, they're true, they're good words, but it's just not the words that we would use today. Romans, the first chapter, beginning at about let's start at verse 18. He says, God's wrath is revealed from heaven against all godlessness and unrighteousness of people, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth, since what can be known about God is evident among them, because God has shown it to them. His invisible attributes, that is, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen since the creation of the world, being understood through what he's made. We talked about the love of God and how we see it, but we only get to see it in glimpses. As a result, he says, people are without excuse. Though they knew God, they did not glorify him as God or show any kind of gratitude. Instead, their thinking became nonsense and their senseless minds were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools, and they exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man, birds, four-footed animals, and reptiles. Therefore, God delivered them over in the cravings of their hearts to sexual impurity, so that their bodies were degraded among themselves. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and they worshipped and served something created instead of the Creator, who's praised forever. Now listen to the way that people treat each other. You know, we think of religion as being something that deals with the way that God treats man and man treats God. In reality, I want you to listen to the number of times when the apostle describes people who left God, how it issues in the way that they treat other people. He says, this is why God delivered them over to degrading passions. Even their females exchanged natural sexual relations for unnatural ones. The males in the same way also left natural relations with females and were inflamed in their lust for one another. Males committing shameless acts with males and received in their own persons the appropriate penalty for their error. Because they did not think it worthwhile to acknowledge God, God delivered them over to a worthless mind to do what is morally wrong. They're filled with all unrighteousness, with evil, greed, wickedness. They're full of envy, murder, quarrels, deceit and malice. They're gossips, slanderers, God-haters, arrogant, proud, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to their parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. Although they know full well God's just sentence that those who practice such things deserve to die, not only do they do them, but they even applaud others who practice them. Who's your hero? the person that abuses somebody else and gets away with it? Is that the person that you really want to be like? Well, sadly, I have to say that there are some people in this world that think that's what they want. Yeah, I wish I could say that that kind of thinking would never creep into an assembly like this. But I can't. 2 Peter, the second chapter, in verse 3. The Apostle Peter is talking to them about false teachers. He says, and in covetousness, they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose sentence now from old lingereth not, and their destruction slumbereth not. What's that look like? You know what came to my mind? Politicians that gather with Christians on Sunday, not because they want to worship God. They don't give any thought to God. They're there because they want your vote. They're treating you like merchandise. I wish it never happened, but it does. And how sad is it when it does? You know, when Jesus was here, it was the same way then as it is now. Jesus went into the temple. And you can read about Jesus going into the temple and finding there priests and others who were selling things. You know, what would happen was you had to make a sacrifice of a blemish-free animal. And the priests were the ones who would look at the animal that you wanted to sacrifice, and they would pronounce that animal blemish free, and so you could sacrifice the animal. Now, it turned out that what the priest did was they maintained their own flock. And so when you tried to make a sacrifice and you brought your own animal, they always found something wrong with your animal. But, you know, just lucky for you, I've got this other animal over here that's blemish free, and I'll sell him to you. Well, that's what they were doing. Nothing more than trying to make a profit off of the back of people who wanted to worship God. Look at Matthew, the 21st chapter. Do you ever wonder why Jesus could walk into the temple, throw over the money changers' tables, chase them out with a whip, and nobody tried to stop him? It's because they understood what those priests were doing. Matthew 21, beginning at verse 12, Jesus entered into the temple of God. He cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple. He overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold the doves. The money changers, you had to pay your temple tax. Of course, you had to use Jewish money. And nobody had Jewish money if they didn't live in Jerusalem. So when you came to Jerusalem to pay your temple tax, they set up an exchange rate for you. And they would give you Jewish money if you would give them your Roman coins. Did you ever go through having to change money like that? I always feel like the guy who's doing says he's doing you a favor, changing that money over to the local currency, is ripping you off. Well, that's exactly what these folks were doing. He said to them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you make it into a den of robbers. The blind and the lame came to him in the temple. He healed them. When the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children were crying in the temple saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were moved with indignation. They said to him, do you hear what they are saying? Jesus said unto them, yea, have you never read out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise? And Jesus left them, went forth out of the city to Bethany, and he lodged there. He didn't have anything to do with it. I wish that I could say that it never happened in churches. But it does. The person that comes to mind most of the time when we think about people abusing other people in churches is Diotrephes. You read about Diotrephes in 3 John, and there's just one chapter in that short little book. But John says, I wrote somewhat to the church, but Diotrephes, somebody that worshiped there, that they knew, who loves to have the preeminence among them, received us not. Therefore, when I come, I will bring to remembrance his works, which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and them that would, he forbiddeth, and casteth them out of the church. John, the 9th chapter, you get a picture of people who were well aware of the existence of that kind of thinking. John, the 9th chapter, is a case of Jesus healing a man who had been born blind. Now the Jews, because they just opposed everything that Jesus did, they called that man in to question him. Who helped you so you can see? He said, Jesus did. Well, the Jews didn't like that. So they called the man's parents. John the 9th chapter, beginning at verse 18. The Jews therefore did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him who had received his sight. They asked them, saying, is this your son who you say was born blind? How then doth he now see? His parents answered and said, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But get this. How he seeth, we know not. Or who opened his eyes, we know not. Ask him, he is of age, he shall speak for himself. These things said his parents. Here's cancel culture. In the extreme, these things said his parents because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man should confess him to be the Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, said his parents, he's of age, ask him. You ever felt that way? That's not the way that God loves. Romans, the 14th chapter. You need to read the entirety of that chapter. But in Romans, the 14th chapter, the Apostle Paul talks about people who in the church just wanted to argue with somebody. So if you didn't eat meat that had been sacrificed to idols, even though eating that meat didn't make a lick of sense, if you didn't eat meat that was sacrificed to idols because you didn't want to have anything to do with the idols, somebody just wanted to argue with you. In Romans 14, he calls it doubtful disputations. They just wanted to argue. That's not the way God ever treated anybody. But that's the way they were treating people. And you know what? The people that were the worst about doing it were the people who knew the most about God. It was the strong people who were abusing the weak people. It wasn't the weak people that were abusing strong people. It's the people that knew the most about God that were abusing those people who were just now learning about God. What a horrible, horrible way to be. In 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, the Apostle Paul kind of helps us to understand how that kind of thing happens. Where does it come from? Now listen carefully to the way that the apostle describes the way that some people think. He doesn't want to be like those people. And in fact, if you read the entire 2 Corinthian letter, you see Paul having to deal with those people over and over again. But listen to 2 Corinthians 10 at verse 12. He says, "We are not bold to number or compare ourselves with certain of them that commend themselves, but they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves with themselves, are not understanding." Why do people do that? Because if I can make you feel bad, it makes me feel better. I'm better than you. That's why they did what they did. That's not the way God made, that's not the way God treated people. That's not the way God made us to be. If anybody could say, "I'm better than you," it would have to be God. Because he's better than any of us. But God never did that. God never got up in anybody's grill and said, "I would never do what you're doing." God forgave. That's a wonderful thing that he did, because goodness only knows I had a lot to be forgiven of. And I'm thankful that God forgives. And that's the way I want to treat other people. That's learning to treat other people the way that God treats other people. Not the way that I am used to being treated, or even the way that I've treated people in the past. You know, our world is so bad that we get immune. And we think everybody is out for themselves. And maybe they are. But we almost expect it. When somebody mistreats you, does it shock you? Or is it just, "Well, that's kind of what I expected anyway, so it's not surprising." We put on a shell so that that doesn't affect us. And we lose a great deal when we do that. Well, I said, that's not the way God treats people. And every one of us can raise our hand and say, "I'm glad God doesn't treat me that way. I'm glad that God loves me and is willing to forgive. I'm glad that God looks at me and sees the things that I need and immediately does something to provide for the things that I need." That's the way I want to be. That's the way God is. And next week, we're going to talk about how to get to where God is. And the key is love.